yet got a ticket and you'd like to get one, you can go to the table in the foyer and talk to Bunny, Ontario, Canada. And she goes, I'm trying to buy tickets on your website. And she goes, I can't because it's Canadian and whatever can't. And so I said, well, don't worry about it. Give me your name or whatever. I'll give that to Bunny. She'll hold your tickets. You can get them when you come through the door at the same price. And so because she really tried and they're coming in from Ontario. So I know there'll be people traveling in for that. And if you enjoy gospel music, not only that, the Booth Brothers just make you feel right at home and just down to earth guys and good Christian testimony. And so I encourage you if you can, and Friday night's available, we'd love to have you come and be a part of the worship service here on Friday night. Let's take our Bibles today and be a part, if you will, turn to John chapter 3. John chapter 3, and as I think of John chapter 3, I think about my encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, when you first encountered or came in front of or came in contact with the Lord Jesus Christ. But I'll tell you what will happen, what will change your life when you first are confronted with Him and understand who He is and what He's about and why He came. He will literally change your life and everything in your life and your purpose and your meaning and all that goes on in your life. The Lord Jesus Christ will literally transform a person's life if you'll just give Him a chance and give Him the opportunity. When I think about here in John chapter 3, I think about the encounter that He had with Nicodemus. But before we get to that part, I think about here a man by the name of John the Baptist. And John the Baptist is what is in the Bible is known as the forerunner of Christ, the one that went ahead. You got to keep in mind that between the Old Testament, when the Old Testament was done, and between the New Testament started, there was about a 400-year lapse. There was about a time period there. Matter of fact, my sister texted me from Kentucky this week, and she said, where do I go if I want to know what went on during the book from Malachi to the book of Matthew? And so I said, well, you're going to have to go to Josephus, a historian, or you're going to have to go to the library and get a good world history book and read world history during that time, because those years were silent years. There was a stretch of about 400 years that was silent, that the Old Testament said that there was a Messiah coming. There's the Son of God was coming, and there would be a Savior, a virgin that Isaiah said would become and be born into this world and be the Savior of the world. But then all of a sudden there came a time when the message seemed that when's he coming? And so all of a sudden then God raised up a man by the name of John the Baptist, and to be the proclaimer, to be the announcer, to be the one that lifted up the message of the Lord Jesus Christ and to proclaim to the world that He, the Messiah, is coming. I love this one verse, but we're going to read a few verses here. But look in John chapter 3 when John the Baptist first encountered Christ. Simply, and this is a good verse for all of us to claim, He must increase, but I must decrease. He must increase, but I must decrease. And that's John the Baptist. And I think it's good advice for all of us, especially all of us that volunteer or work or serve in some capacity. It's not about what we do. It's not about recognition of what you and I serve and give or whatever. It's that He may increase and that you and I may decrease. And I think about all of our volunteers that serve and week in and week out. And if you let it, sometimes it can get labor intensive, and you can say, boy, who am I doing this for? You're doing it for the Lord, and you're doing it that He might receive the honor and the glory. So let's look at John the Baptist here, beginning in verse 22, and we're going to take this a little bit in reverse today. But here's John's last testimony here. He says, and after these things, in verse 22, Jesus came to His disciples into the land of Judea, and there He tarried with them and baptized. And John also was baptizing in Enon near Shalem, and because there was much water there, and they came and were baptized. And for John was not yet cast into prison. And then there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about the purifying. And they came unto John, and they said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men come to him. John answered and said, a man can receive nothing except to be given him from heaven. Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, John the Baptist said, but that I am sent before him.
And he that hath the bride is the bridegroom. But the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This is my joy, therefore is fulfilled. He, talking about Christ now, must increase, and I must decrease. Try to get the picture in here in your mind. It's been silent for so long and it's quiet, and all of a sudden this man shows up, and he's a little rough around the edges, preaching a gospel message, preaching repentance. John's message was that you must be born again and that you must repent of your sin and come to God and ask forgiveness of your sin. And so he was the forerunner. He's the proclaimer. He's the one that's leading the way. So many of them thought maybe he's the Christ. No, and that's why John made it abundantly clear. He is not the Christ, and he is the forerunner. He's the one that goes ahead. And so when we find John the Baptist encountered him, John's recollection or John's feeling was that he, Christ, must increase and that I must decrease. And I think that's a great thing for all of us to keep in mind as we serve and as we, whether you're an usher or whether you're doing some maintenance in a church work or at a youth camp or if you're preaching or a pastor or a deacon or whatever, everything that we do should be about He, Christ, increasing, and you and I decreasing, and always to elevate and to uplift the name of the Lord Jesus. It's not about you and I. It's not about what lesson we can come up with. It's not about what song we can write or sing or whatever. Everything we do is to bring honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. It really is all about Him. I got a text the other day from Jacques Alexander out of Haiti, and Jacques was saying in there, and he was signing off on an email that he sent to me, and he took like two paragraphs. I loved it because Jacques was just saying on there, it's all about Him, it's all about Jesus, it's all about the Lord Jesus, it's all about Christ. And I love that. I love that about Jacques, and he always puts things into perspective and about the message and about everything we do is about the Lord Jesus Christ. If you have an encounter with Him and come face to face with Him and have a relationship with Him, He will change your life. And I realize, and when I think about this, sometimes Christians from time to time will get off track or kind of divert or get distracted a little bit in your Christianity. Just get back to Christ. Get back to your encounter with Him and refocus on that. Relive. Don't ever let your salvation get old. Don't ever let that get old. Think back to the day you got saved and you came to Christ. So it's easy to get off track a little bit if you're not careful as a Christian. And when you do that, go back to the day you got saved. Go back to the day you encountered Christ and that relationship that you have with Him. Keep that first because it will always bring you on target. It'll always bring you back to the bearing that you know that you need to be on. So when you think about here, Jesus had this encounter with a man by the name of Nicodemus. Now, it's interesting here because Nicodemus came to inquire about Jesus. I don't know about you, but I did not go looking to find Jesus and to come to salvation. I met pretty well was headed doing other things in my life, and I was not interested in an encounter at that time. And matter of fact, a church just like this one sent a bus down our road, got my sister to go to church. So they got her to church, a church like this, and lo and behold, she got saved, come to Christ. And the Saturday after that, the pastor showed up at the house and to talk to my father and mother. And lo and behold, the pastor led my father and mother to Christ. I came home from work that afternoon about 4:30 on a Saturday, and my dad says to me, he says, "Hey, Rick," he said, "the pastor of the Baptist Temple came by the house today." And I said, "Really? What do you want?" He said, "Well, he came by to see us. You weren't here, but he said, your mom and I got saved today. Your mom and I trusted Jesus Christ today as Savior." I said, "Okay." I had no idea what that meant, and so as I sat there, he said, "And we're going to church tomorrow at the Mansfield Baptist Temple. And we want you to go with us." And I said, "Do I have to?" And he said, "No, you don't have to, but I really, really would like you to go." That meant I had to. So in his language, it was one of those, I said, "Well, all right, if you really, really want me to go, I'll go." I thought, okay, I'm going to go, I'll go. I'm 16 years old, I got a job, I got my own car, I'm kind of got my own focus, what I'm finishing high school with, and already had college lined up and knew what I was doing, my career path was headed on, and I already had my focus, and then this all began to happen. And so when that began to happen, I said, "All right, I'll go," because I love my mom and dad, and I thought, I'll go with them. So I went to church that day, rode with them, come to a church just like this, And wouldn't you know, I mean, there was about 1,000 people in that sanctuary that day. And when I come in, my dad and mom come in, and they come in, and they come in through this door over here and come in down the center aisle, about the third or fourth row back, set right down here in the front. I thought, of all the seats in the sanctuary you can go to sit in, why do you need to pick one right down front, right near the pulpit? But that's the seat they chose, so I thought, that's all right, I'll just slide in, and my sister can slide in, my mom and dad. But they sent my sister in, and they made me wait, and my mom went in, my dad went in, they made me sit on the end. So I'm sitting there, and I heard the gospel for the first time, what it really meant, what Jesus, why he came and why he died and why he gave his life on the cross of Calvary, and that I needed to repent of my sin and ask Jesus Christ to come into my heart as my personal Lord and Savior. And I realized then, at that very moment, the need to be saved from the penalty of sin that I had in my life. Now, I had gone to church for 16 years. But it was a church that never really preached the gospel. It was never a church that really took the time to lead me to salvation. It was never a church that that laid it out in such plain language for me to understand. But this morning, that morning, I began to understand it clearly for the first time, and I realized that I had a sin penalty on my life and that I could not save myself. And I began to reckon, and the more the service went on, the more the message, and the more it began to sink on, the more I began to digest what they were saying, I realized that Jesus Christ had provided a way of salvation for me if I would just trust him and just believe him and just accept him as my Savior. And so they wrapped the sermon up, and the pastor gave the invitation, and my intention was just to step out, let my, because my dad, my father already told me that your mom and I, my mom and my sister and I are going forward to meet the pastor and make our public profession of our faith in Jesus Christ. And so I thought, okay, so I thought, well, I'll step out. And when I went to step out to let them out and come forward, I just stepped out, and the youth pastor was down here, and I met Dean Arbaney, and that's when I got saved and trusted Christ as my Savior and realized that that day, at that moment that I came, that was my encounter. That was my first encounter with the death, the burial, the resurrection of Christ, and really believing and really trusting that if you open your heart and ask Jesus Christ to come in, that he'll change your life. And if you'll trust him and stay focused with him and not let your life get drifted or get off track, and if your life does get off track, come back to your encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ, the day of your salvation. So here's Nicodemus. Now, Nicodemus was a man on the Sanhedrin. He was a well-respected ruler at this time. And so word is getting around of this man, Jesus Christ. And so notice what happens in verse 1, 2, and 3. It says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus. He's a ruler of the Jews. And the same came to Jesus by night. Did you notice that by night? I thought that was rather intriguing. Here he is, a ruler in the Sanhedrin, a leader of the Jews. And, you know, why didn't he go at daytime? Why didn't he go in the broad daylight? But he didn't. He chose to go at night, and he goes and he approaches, and the same came to Jesus by night. And he said unto him, Rabbi, meaning teacher, he says, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. So here it is, Nicodemus hears this, he hears the rumor mill, he sees all this going on at this time, and then Jesus turned to Nicodemus, said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That was a rather interesting take, because when you look at it, Nicodemus here, being a non-religious man, or being a man that was not yet saved, Jesus responded by simply telling him, you must be born again or you cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, Nicodemus recognized this man was the Son of God. This man performed miracles. This man did tremendous things along the way, and the reputation followed the Lord Jesus Christ all the way back to Nicodemus. But he's on the Sanhedrin. He's a ruler of the Jews. He's in a leadership position there in Israel. Now I find the conversation gets a little interesting, because Jesus now gives us insight into Nicodemus. You see, one thing interesting, you can hide things, but you cannot hide from the Lord. God knows everything about us. God knew everything about Nicodemus. God knew his heart. God knew his intentions. God knows everything about you and I. So if you think you can hide something, if you're not yet saved, you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, believe me this, God knows every little detail about you inside out. And not only that, after you get saved, he knows you inside out. And so here's what he does say in verse 4. Nicodemus saith unto him, Well, now this dialogue continues a little bit farther. How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, notice now all the way down to verse 8 here, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, that's of the Holy Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. So here's the question today, my friend. Can you think of that day, that encounter, that time in your life when you had an encounter with Jesus Christ face to face, one on one, and born again of the Holy Spirit? If you've not yet done that or not yet had that encounter or not yet had that time in your life, then today could be the best day that you'll ever have as an opportunity for you to say, today will be the day that I want to accept Jesus Christ and ask Him into my heart, to make sure that you have that face-to-face relationship with Him. You must be born again. You must have a day and a place in your life where you came face-to-face in an encounter with God. So analyze and look at your life. Look back and think, when was that? When did that take place? Have I had that encounter? Have I had that time when the Holy Spirit came in and regenerated my life? That's what he was saying here to Nicodemus. Now, he goes a little bit farther, and Jesus now gives us this indictment, really, of Nicodemus. As I said, you know, God looks inside our heart, knows everything about us. Look what he says to Nicodemus. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, well, how can these things be? This is really an interesting verse. Jesus answered and said unto him, art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? You're a master in Israel. You're on the Sanhedrin in Israel. You have a religious background in Israel and you don't know these things? You have all this background, religious background, and you don't know that a man must be born again, born of the water and born of the Spirit? I almost see a little bit of sarcastic jab in this verse 10, kind of like here. You think you know everything about religion, but you don't know yet how to be born again? You know, it would be a sad thing. I think that would be a very difficult thing for people to be religious and try to live a good life. And yes, maybe even go to church on Sunday and be a religious good person and then miss salvation and miss being born again and miss an opportunity to go to heaven. What a sad scenario that will be. But Jesus makes it very, very plain, very clear in the scripture that he teaches. Not everyone that professes me as Savior and Lord will go to heaven. There will be many that will, you know, for years, I knew about Christ. I knew the Ten Commandments. I went to church and I understand there was a God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit. I knew that. You know what I did not have? I did not have the encounter. I did not have the personal relationship. I did not have the face-to-face and confessing my sin and realizing the need for the Savior. So it's one thing to be religious. Nicodemus was religious. Nicodemus was religiously lost and did not know how to get to heaven. And he's saying, Jesus is saying here to this man, said, you're a leader in Israel? Said, here, you, because he's saying here, Nicodemus, he's trying to say, well, how can these things be? How can this happen? And he's saying here, aren't you a master in Israel and you don't know these things? So there's a big difference here between this. And so then if you take your Bible there and look at it, it goes on in verse 11. Verily, verily, he says, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen, and you receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you heavenly things? And no man that has ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And then probably the most famous verse in the Bible, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the Son of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. And for every one that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. So Jesus lays it out very plain and very clear, to come into the light of the glorious gospel, the light of the gospel. And so we find here that the message that John the Baptist gives, that he must increase, that I must decrease. And then I love how he ties this up here at the end of the chapter, is really concerning Christ. And this is kind of what I want you to focus on as we wrap this up here today, is that five reasons I think that Christ is superior to John the Baptist. That's listed here in Scripture, and you think about it. You see, they were looking for the Christ. They were looking for the Messiah. He's got to come. They said he was coming. Isaiah said he was coming. And 400 years later, he still hasn't come. Is this the Christ? John the Baptist said that I must decrease and he must increase. And I want you to think about these things today. Number one, five reasons why Christ is superior to John the Baptist. And he lays them out for us in verse 31 to verse 36. He that cometh from above is above all. And he that is of the earth is earthly and speaketh of the earth. And he that cometh from heaven is above all. And what he has seen and heard that he testifieth, and no man receiveth his testimony. Verse 33. He that hath received his testimony has set to his seal that God is true. For he whom God has sent speaketh the words of God, for God giveth not the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, by measure unto him. For the Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things into his hand. And he that believeth on the Son, on Jesus Christ, hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Here's reason number one, that Jesus Christ is superior. Number one is this: Christ had a heavenly origin. John the Baptist did not. Christ was born from heaven. Jesus Christ is God the Father incarnate into human flesh. Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. There is only one God. We worship today only one God: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We have three distinct persons and personalities, but yet only one God. We don't serve three gods. We serve one God. Is God the Father incarnate into the flesh, becoming Jesus Christ, dying for your sin and my sin. And he says here, you must be born again of the Spirit. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So Christ had a heavenly origin. John the Baptist did not. Secondly, Christ knew what was true by the firsthand experience. He was born of a virgin, lived a sinless and perfect life here on this earth, was tempted in all points as we are tempted, had the opportunity that every other man created had. And so we know this, that Jesus Christ knew what was true by firsthand experience. He was born and lived and walked. He was the God-man. Jesus Christ is God walking on earth in human flesh. It's an amazing thing when you think about it. Third thought is this, that Christ's testimony always agrees with God. Think about that. You notice that in the Bible? That Jesus Christ, his testimony, always supports and backs up and supports that which God's testimony is. Never against it. Again, only one God. And what you see Jesus saying, you'll see God saying, you'll see the Holy Spirit saying. They all three agree in the same. So Christ's testimony always agrees with God. And fourthly, Christ experienced the Holy Spirit in an unlimited manner. By that, he had the full power of the Holy Spirit. And then fifthly, Christ was supreme because the Father sovereignly had granted that status to him. And so I know sometimes it can be difficult, but it's three distinct persons and yet one God, and through the power of the Holy Spirit. And so I go back to what he said to Nicodemus. To have life. He says here, verily, verily, you can be religious today and be in friend day to day. If you're here, my friend, and you mean well, and maybe you're religious, you go to church, or maybe you don't. You know, sometimes, as I said, it's very easy to digress and get out of following the Lord. And so we need to go back to that encounter. Are you saved? Do you know him? Go back to the day of your salvation and with him. And so, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Life is not forever. We don't live forever. I don't know how to slow down the aging process, and neither do you. We're all going to get older, and we're all going to die someday, and we're all going to go through the doorway of death. I just pray the Lord's coming is near, and we'll go through the rapture. But if he doesn't, we're going to continue to get older, and we're going to continue to move towards death's door. So the key is, are you ready? Do you know that? You say, well, I'm young. I have my first funeral that I did in South Dakota when I started pastoring was for a 3-week-old baby. You have no guarantee and no promises tomorrow. I don't care how old you are or how young you are. You do not know what tomorrow is going to hold. And just like that, your life could be taken, could be gone. So again, I ask the question, do you know him? Are you prepared for him? Do you understand today the need to be saved from the penalty of sin? God is holy and God is just, and God puts a penalty on sin. There's nothing that you and I can do, nothing we can come up with to pay that penalty, but Jesus Christ paid that penalty. As all you got to do is trust him and believe him and to realize, I cannot save myself. I need to fall upon the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in the death, burial, and resurrection. That's what he's telling Nicodemus, and Jesus provided salvation for Nicodemus, and you and I need to realize the same message he gives given here to be saved. If you're not yet saved, you can be saved today. Why would you wait, and why would you prolong that day to come to know Christ? Let's pause for prayer with every head bowed and every eye closed today. And my friend, if you're here today and you come as a friend today or you come as a guest of somebody else, if you're here and if you're saved and you know the Lord Jesus Christ, you say, Pastor, I know 100%, beyond a shadow of a doubt, I know if I died today, I know that today that I'd go to heaven. I'd slip in from this life into eternity, into heaven, and I know that I know that I know that. If you know that you're saved today and really know and convinced of that, would you just slip your hand up all over the sanctuary? I know that I know that I know that. Amen. Put your hand down if you would. And if you're sure of that, God bless you, and you've made that. You've had that encounter with the Lord through the power of the Holy Spirit. But my friend today, if you're here and you could not raise your hand today, I want to just walk you through a simple prayer today and ask you to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, to have your encounter with him through the power of the Holy Spirit today. Would you trust him? Would you believe in him? And would you pray this simple prayer? You can pray it right where you sit, right there in the pew where you sit today. Just pray it in your heart, just to yourself, and I'll walk you through it right now, this very moment. Dear Heavenly Father, I ask Jesus Christ to come into my heart and to forgive me of my sin. And I realize that I am a sinner, and there's a penalty on my sin debt, and I cannot pay that debt. So I ask Jesus Christ to forgive me and to pay my sin's penalty, and I accept and I believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. I repent of my sin so that I can be saved today. In Jesus' name I pray and with thanksgiving. Amen. With every head bowed and every eye closed. If you prayed that prayer today, my friend, that's between you and the Lord. It's not between you and me. It's between you and God. And I pray if you will today, if you'd make that public or let somebody know or whoever you came to church with, let them know. If you want to make it public here in the service, you can let us know that today. Or you can see one of us afterwards. We'll give you a Bible and help you and encourage you to get in a good church today and to serve the Lord. Friend, if you're here today and you've lost your focus, maybe you've gotten off base a little bit, you're not where you need to be in the Christian life, why don't you refocus your life? Go back to the day of your salvation. Say, God, it really is all about Jesus, and I'm going to serve you. I'm going to follow you, and I'm going to walk with you today. I surrender all to Jesus Christ. If you're here today and you're looking for a church home, you'd like to join First Baptist Church and make that your church home, my friend, the requirements to be a member here is you must be saved, proclaim, profess your faith in Jesus Christ, and follow the Lord in believer's baptism. We'd welcome you into church membership and to be a part of this body of Christ, this church family today. So Holy Spirit, today we surrender all this to you. Just work in each and every heart today that would align us with our first encounter with you. And God will be sure to give you the praise as we make these decisions for you today. In Jesus' name we pray. Let's stand together. Brother Ron's going to lead us in verse of invitation. I'll be here at the front. If we can help you and pray with you or help you in any way, be glad to do that. If you made a profession of your faith in Christ and trusted Christ, why don't you come and let us know that today and let somebody know that today I asked Jesus Christ into my heart and today was my encounter with the Holy Spirit of God. As Brother Rod leads us, you come.
With every head bowed and every eye closed, as these are praying here at the altar today, I would just ask with every head bowed and every eye closed that at this moment, one other thing I want to share with you this past week. Brother Franklin Graham, who heads up Samaritan's Purse, and a bunch of pastors across this nation, I think about 250 leaders, have asked and requested that America pray for our president, and that America pray for our leaders and our Congress, specifically as today, a national day of prayer for our president of the United States of America. And so I was trying to figure out, well, how do we do that today? We're going to ask all of you to pray, but I thought today what I wanted to do was just to do this, and just ask maybe the men of the church, doesn't mean the ladies, if you want to come, you can, but I want to ask the men of the church, guests, visitors alike, all the men, if you just maybe join me down here at the altar, and we want to have just a moment of prayer for the President of the United States of America. Would you do that? Guests, visitors, men, just slip out. Come on down. Guests, first-time visitors, it doesn't make any difference to me. I'm just going to ask the men of the church to join me here. And we'll just wait till all the men get down here, those that are willing. You don't have to if you don't want to. This is specifically just to pray for our president of the United States of America, that God's hand would be upon him. Just come on down, kind of gather around the altar here. If you will, just kind of line up at the altar. And if you will, you make your way down here. And I need one microphone. Brother Larry, or he's probably, you got one right there. I'm going to do this. Those that are able to, I'm going to ask us to, on bended knee, just go to the Lord today. I'm going to lead us in prayer, but I'm going to ask today, if you would, one of our deacons, Brother Jim Monroe. Jim, I don't know where you're at. Right here. I want to ask Jim Monroe to take the microphone and just pray for our president, pray for our leaders, pray for our nation, pray for our country. And I'm not saying nobody else can't come, but I ask our men to come. If you want to come, anybody wants to come, you're welcome to do that. Feel free to step right out and come. And if you want to come, or if you want to come down and be by your husband, that's fine. But I just felt a need to call on the men of the church to come and just to seek God's hand upon our president. Brother Jim.
Father, we know it has commanded us to pray for our leaders. This time we know how America is and the sin that's in our world. We pray for protection over our country. We pray that we might be faithful to you. Those who love you would be a witness and an example of you. And now as we come and think of our leaders, the one who is in command of our country, we just pray that you would guide and direct him every step that he takes, every decision that he makes, that he needs wisdom from you, and that, Lord, he might be able to just have the guidance that you can only give. That we might be able to see our country go forward, that there will be souls saved, that we'll be able to see that we get back closer to you. Lord, we just pray for some revival in our country, that we might be able to see many, many souls saved, like it was years ago when everybody was going to church and the buses were running. Lord, we just pray now that you would protect our president from all the evil things that are going about. We want to be able to know that he is looking forward also to the day that you take us home. Father, thank you once again for this opportunity. Help America to be praying today for him. For we ask it in Jesus' name.
Heavenly Father, God, we love you today. Thank you for these men, and God, on bended knee today, we open our hearts today and thank you for America. God, we thank you for the President of the United States. And we, like so many hundreds and hundreds of churches around America today, are praying for our president, praying for our country, praying for our religious and liberties and freedoms that we have, that we've enjoyed, and because of the foundation that America has. Thank you for being a friend of Israel, that we can have the opportunity to reach out and be a friend of Israel in this world that we live in, that so many hate and the anti-Semitism and all that's going on. God, I just pray that America will stand true and faithful, give our president wisdom, our vice president, and God, may your hand be upon them. I pray that Satan would be hindered and restricted, and God, that we would stay focused on what's right according to the Constitution and the liberties and the freedoms that you've given to us based on the foundation of what America is all about. And so, God, we pray you'll put a hedge of protection about all of his family, watch over them, and continue to bless. And God bless the USA. Thank you for the religious freedoms we have to be able to worship in a place like this and to have a local New Testament church that we can go to and serve in and love you. And thank you for the hard work and dedication of so many people that love you and are dedicated to the cause of Christ. And may we continue to reach out to you in prayer each and every day. In Jesus' name we pray and with thanksgiving. Amen. And all God's people said, amen. Thank you, men, if you will. I appreciate you coming. And at this time we have coming today, let me share just an announcement with you. And we're going to ask Brother Dave Cuevas and Brother Paul Tacy to make their way up here to the platform. And we've got an announcement to make.
What? That Kathy came forward for baptism.
Okay. And let me share with you, today we have coming Nita Bombeck. Nita is saved and knows the Lord Jesus Christ as her personal Savior, and has followed the Lord in believers' baptism, and she comes today to make that public and to unite with First Baptist Church. Amen? Amen. And so if you're glad to receive her into the membership of First Baptist, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Give her a hand. Amen. Okay. And Kathy, I'll talk with you later, and you're coming today also to make a decision with the Lord and get together with you and visit with you. So praise the Lord. God is good. Amen? And just a few instructions. Where's Dave and Paul? They got an announcement they want to make and a couple instructions, and we got to let you go today. Go ahead, guys.
Hello. So last year we kind of had well, everybody knows about the Liberty Fest down the road, right? Everybody knows about the fireworks that happen and everything. Everybody knows how people like to park in our parking lot and kind of congregate around the church there to watch the fireworks because we have a really good vantage point here at the church. Last year, we tried to get something going, and it was kind of a private event. But this year, I think what we're going to do is we're going to open it up to the community, just try to say, make it more of like an outreach to the community and just put out signs and say, hey, come hang out with us, come watch the fireworks with us, park here, set up your chairs here, come have a hot dog and a bag of chips and a can of pop. We're gonna try to invite them to come, and when they come, we're gonna give them information about the church, about Vacation Bible School, and about different events that are happening around the church. So what we're looking for, you're gonna have a sign up out in the foyer at the Information Center, Welcome Center, and just if you can make it that day, it's a Saturday, June 15th. We're going to start it at 7 p.m. We're going to basically try to set up a lot of canopies out here. Anybody that has a canopy, if they want to bring one, set one up. We'll set up a little canopy city out there so the people, the bigger it looks, the better, more inviting it looks. So we'll have a grill. We'll grill hot dogs. We'll give out stuff. And then if you can bring yard games like ladder golf or cornhole, I'll be bringing stuff like that, or badminton. We're going to try to set up the volleyball net. I know the youth is going to invite all their friends to come. But that's basically what we're doing. And if you have any questions, let either one of us know, or just sign up at the Welcome Center. Thank you. Huh? Oh, yeah, bring your own lawn chairs, because we don't have those. So.
All right. Just got another announcement. On June 19th, we are going to be doing a marriage series. It's called From This Day Forward. It is 5 commitments to fail-proof your marriage. So what I'm going to do is, we're going to be working from a workbook. So if you are interested, or if you know a friend, or someone, a relative who would be interested in coming to these classes, just let me know. One thing, so that gives me enough time to get a workbook, because we have a workbook that goes with that. I will be putting out a sign-up sheet out in the Welcome Center too. Again, everybody's invited to this. It's just going to be a good time for fellowship and just to strengthen our marriage and hear what God has to say. All right.
Wednesday nights.
Yep. Starting Wednesday night, June 19th. Yeah. But since we're here, Dave, I want to ask you a question.
Sure.
Because you've been married a long time. How long have you been married?
27 years.
All right, 27 years. Give him a hand. That's a long time to be married.
Yeah.
All right. Good. So, could you tell us, all of us, what the secret of marriage is?
These aren't. It's the three rings of marriage, right? Three rings of marriage. It's the engagement ring, the wedding ring, and the suffer ring. So now I have to go to this class, so.
Okay. All right, thank you.
All right. Thanks, guys. That's good. I encourage you to be faithful. Wednesday night, it's always fun to come to Wednesday night Bible study and their class, and so get engaged and get involved. At this time, what we're going to do is, one is, don't forget in the bulletin, read that. There's a widow's luncheon coming up this week, and I think everything else was pretty well covered. We have Vacation Bible School just around the corner, so June 24th to June 28th. There's a sign-up sheet for that. If you can help us with VBS this year, that's great. They always welcome more guests and more help and workers through that, help to get the word out on VBS. That's just around the corner. So we look forward to Vacation Bible School. And then, if you will, at this time, let me just tell you what's going on over in the gym. So if you're one of our volunteers, you signed up for the luncheon today, or if you're a friend or guest with one of the somebody that came today that's gone to lunch with us, everything's supposed to be ready. I told them about 12:15 and should be ready to go, so we should be ready. We'll pray for the food here, but they said you don't have to make a mad rush over there. Just go over, find a table, sit down at a table. I guess they're going to call there's two serving lines, and they'll call the tables by number up to the serving line. So all the staff is supposed to be over there. Staff's supposed to be doing the work today and doing the serving. So we'll make a beeline from here to get over there. And if you are here today and you are a friend and came on Friend Day or a guest with somebody, I want to thank you for coming on Friend Day. And if you're here on the way out, right here in the center of the foyer, there's a big bread basket. And they've either made homemade bread or bought homemade bread or whatever, that's for you. So if you're here, you're a guest, you're a visitor, and I know somebody may say, well, can I not be a church member today and just be a visitor and get a loaf of bread on the way out? So you have to negotiate with them out there, I guess. But anyway, so if you go by and you see a bread basket out there, it's for guests, visitors, and if you are a visitor day or came as a friend day and part of Friend Day, feel free to take something with you on the way out today, and we appreciate you being here in the Lord's house. So what we want to do is go over to the gym for the volunteers and workers and enjoy your time of fellowship and meal together. And again, you're not supposed to be working on Volunteer Sunday, so if you run into Rosalind, she will remind you of that, and just go enjoy the meal and the time together over there. So good to see you today. Let's stand together, and we will be dismissed in prayer. Where did Nita go to? She's back there. Debbie, would you mind go back there with Nita Bombeck? And Nita, I'm going to ask Debbie Newsom to maybe slip back here with you and by those glass doors, and Debbie will stand with you back there. We want to go by and give you the right hand of Christian fellowship. Let Nita know that you're glad that she's saved and baptized and joined the church today. And so it's always good to have new members and new people coming in. Let's pray and we'll be dismissed. Heavenly Father, God, we love you today. Thank you for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for the day that we personally had an encounter and salvation experience with the Lord Jesus Christ. God, we thank you for the men of our church. Thank you for the opportunity to pray for our president today. We'd ask that not only today, but we as a congregation would continue to pray for our president and our leaders, those that serve around the world. And God, we pray for Israel today. And just put your hedge and a hand of protection on them and pray for the values and principles of America and what it was founded upon and the Constitution and all that we believe in, our liberties and our freedoms. God, we thank you for that today. Most of all, our freedom that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And God, we just thank you for your blessings. We pray for the food today that we're about to partake over in the gym. And thank you for the hard work and dedication of all of our volunteers and those that serve week in and week out all year long. We thank you for that and that we'd enjoy the time of fellowship today. In Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. There is no service tonight.